Okay, step one, you've got the feeling. Step two, you've identified the story you're telling yourself. Now, before you can change the story, before you can pull that thought weed, that thing that's causing that negative experience, you have to ask step three. You have to do step three, which is to ask this question. How is that belief or story that you've chosen or song you're listening to on the radio, how is that, even though it produces negative feelings, how is that story serving you? See, there is something about the story you've told that actually serves you, even though it's producing all kinds of negative feelings. And the reason we know that is because if it didn't serve you, you wouldn't do it. It has to serve you in some way, shape, or form. Simple example, Mike's story about being anxious, of money, the story he told about money, and all the anxiety it was producing, and the panic, and the fights, and everything that were all negative, that he didn't want anymore, was serving him somehow. How do you think it might have been serving him? Well, in his case, it served to protect him. It actually, when he felt the anxiety, somehow that anxiety was familiar. It felt like home, and it made him feel like he was hypervigilant, that he was on a high alert, that he was going to be more prepared for threats that might come and get him and destroy his life financially. And so that belief, that story, you cannot dismantle on its own terms. You cannot confront the belief through logic or reason or rationality. You actually have to start to notice, how have I chosen this? Why have I chosen this? How is it serving me? And so Barbara's story about her boss and how she was micromanaging and in the weeds and kind of irritating, she was choosing that story in part because Barbara realized through our work that it was serving her. One of the ways it served her is it prevented her from being let down or disappointed. It sounds weird, I know, but this is how we do things. What was happening for her was actually she had been through many bosses, and every boss she goes in with really high expectations, and every boss she encounters, she discovers something tragic about those bosses, which is they're human. So they actually have flaws, and they do things that you don't like, and you become disappointed and then disengaged and demotivated. And she said, well, if I can just pick her apart early and often, I won't have anywhere to fall. I'll already be as low as I can be. And that serves me because I don't have to feel the fall, feel the disappointment. So when you look at your life, when you look at a story you tell yourself, the story that I was telling myself about over-functioning, about serving more than the other person was serving, was helping me. It made me feel miserable, it made me feel angry, and it made me feel resentful. But what it was actually doing was it was a story designed to prop me up. It was a story designed to tell me just how valuable I am. And that's a really powerful story. I'm so important. I've done so much. I've helped in so many ways. And this is something that serves me. What it serves is it combats my insecurity, my feeling that I wasn't enough. And so the question for you is, when you look at your story that you've chosen, do you know it? Can you tell it? And then can you ask, how is this story serving me? How is it providing support in some way? And when you can see that, affirm it. Don't denigrate it. I want us to treat those stories and beliefs that are limiting and preventing us from achieving things and hurting us, I want us to treat them the way you would treat a loyal soldier who comes home from war. You see, at one time in our lives, those beliefs served us very well, and we should be grateful for how they served us. They might have protected us. They might have boosted us. They might have prevented difficult things from happening, and for that we are grateful, and it has simply outlived its purpose. Just like a soldier who is trained to kill in war, in that context, we are grateful for that soldier because that soldier did its job in the right context. But if the soldier comes home and starts to kill, that soldier is now doing something that is illegal. It is criminal activity. And that soldier is hurting ourselves and others. And so the problem is not the behavior, the problem is the context. And so what we do is we speak to the belief, we speak to the story. I know that sounds weird. You speak to it as though it's a person. And you address it the way you would respectfully as a soldier who's come home from war, and you give that soldier a medal, and you say, you fought valiantly, and we thank you for your service. In all the ways you served us, we thank you. And now we want to give you a formal and official discharge. You are now discharged from service. You now no longer need to serve us in that way. And we thank you, and we ask you to go into retirement. This is a very subtle but important practice in the psychology of humans, which is if you try to fight or argue or rationalize, the belief gets more and more entrenched. But if you affirm, validate, give space to, and celebrate its contribution, it becomes a resource. It becomes something that knows when to come out of the shadows rather than just sort of work behind the scenes on us without us wanting us to. The other piece of this work, before you can discharge your loyal soldier, you'll have to ask yourself, is it okay with you if you don't have this feeling anymore? That may sound even more strange, but you have to ask. The feeling of anxiety, or the feeling of feeling superior, or the feeling of being disappointed, somehow you may not want to let go of. You may not feel safe. You may not feel loved. You may not feel strong. These things you have to ask, is it okay? Do you give permission? And so, if you can see how it served you, and you can see how it's no longer serving you in this new context, then you can give it permission to stand down. And once you've done that work, which is step 3, you are ready for step 4.